Welcome back to another Daily Walk. Well, today we are going to spend a little bit of time talking about John MacArthur's new book, The War on Children. As some people have said, it was a controversial book. Of course, the muckraker Julie Royce has released an article saying Thomas Nelson's not going to publish the book because of the scandals of the John MacArthur's church, you know, and basically she's just mad because John MacArthur holds to a biblical authority. And really, that's what the gist of her arguments are. And she's just seeking her whole ministry to try and discredit the man who is probably the soundest theologian living right now. He's not, of course, perfect in his theology. Now, this book was supposed to come out 2 years ago by Thomas Nelson, and Thomas Nelson declined to publish it. And somebody there at Thomas Nelson sent a message over to Julie Royce, you know, saying, "We're not publishing the book." It was an internal thing, kind of like a I'd call it better term, whistleblower. So, of course, she reaches back out to Thomas Nelson and asks, "Well, is it? Can you confirm this? Why aren't you publishing it?" And they never respond because it was some internal person who sent a message out because somebody at Thomas Nelson was probably mad of the content of this. This brings me, first thing we're talking about is, unfortunately, the publishing industry. And understand that I am a Christian author and I do attend conferences in the Christian author sphere. And I'm a member of some associations. I know some of the people involved in Christian publishing. And what is sad is, like every other industry, the Christian publishing industry, by and large, is also owned by the same three corporations that run everything else. Thomas Nelson is a subsidiary of HarperCollins. HarperCollins is a subsidiary of News Corp. Both News Corp and HarperCollins have these strong DEI statements. Although the Thomas Nelson site doesn't have it, the fact is that their parent companies do. And most likely, this book was instructed by higher ups, don't publish this book because of who Thomas Nelson is associated with in the publishing world. Now, they do say, "Oh, we don't censor anything," but, you know, they do a whole lot more about the modern movements of DEI than anything else. And the fact of the matter is, getting into this, is that this book is about how DEI is the war against children. So it makes sense that News Corp and HarperCollins would not like a book under their publishing arm, Thomas Nelson, that subscribes so fully to DEI. That all being said, the other thing I'd like to mention here is that Christians need to stop publishing books with the big groups. If you're a big church, you can make far more profit back to your ministry by self-publishing them because it is so easy today. And if you're not a big person, you'll make a lot more yourself by utilizing the smaller groups. We need to let the large Christian publishers right now, we need to let them die. That's what needs to happen. Now, let's go ahead and get into the book, The War on Children. This is an absolutely amazing read. This is the first book that they have published under their own John MacArthur Publishing Group, mostly because publishers wouldn't publish it because it takes such a strong stance against the things of the current world. This is absolutely a book that one should read. It's broken down into two sections. The first one is called The Slaughter of the Innocents, and the second is called The Key Battlefronts. And so in these sections, the first one has five parts. Each one has five parts. So part one of this goes into a lot of the ancient history surrounding the child sacrifice that happened, and then bringing the modern parallels to everything going on in modern DEI against the children. Not just DEI, of course, which deals with the transing. The fact of the matter is the current powers that be in the world, they would like to either have you abort your children or make them sterile in their youth, which is why they're pushing so much indoctrination to the LGBT lifestyle. That is a lot of what this book is about, but it also goes across things that have been going on for over a decade inside of our culture, really fighting against the children and really trying to borrow into this Marxist idea that everybody owns the children, not the parents, which basically is a godless view. Because if you look at the biblical analysis, and he does a really good job in every chapter of balancing what is the biblical view versus the world's view. In the biblical view, children are a gift from the Lord. He entrusts them to their parents. The parents are accountable before God for making the decisions that need to be made in the parenting. So that needs to happen. Now, as far as everything else here. The first part goes into the slaughter of the innocents, looking at the modern abortion movement, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, etc. Section 2 talks about the specific key battlefronts: the attack on conception, the attack on life itself, the attack on the family, the attack on women, and the attack on men. So the book itself goes into a lot of deep analysis into this, and everything in here, like, I remember reading through this book and remembering back to seeing the things that are going on in our world, and just seeing a nice book that is cataloging all of this nonsense in our world that is going on, which is all an assault against the children. And that really is what this book really covers. Is it goes into each section. They talk a little bit about the ancient Moloch worship, which is where they have the statues where you would toss your children on in. Basically, the statue is set up in such a way, it was kind of like upholding arms to this demon thing with a little hole down there, and you would set your infant baby on this thing. And then as the baby would scream and curl, it would fall down this hole and burn. Now, King Ahaz was one of the kings who did this, and we seem to have a little bit of extra biblical analysis that suggests that the King Hezekiah was actually sacrificed one of these statues, but he lived. Which there were cases of kids who had survived this, which also why I explain in my book Hezekiah's Prayer, why he seems to be the only king we know of who died at a young age, not in battle. He was only in his like 30s or 40s when he died. And which is a very stark contrast to every other king who lives well into his 80s or 90s, unless he dies in battle. Like Josiah dies younger, but he dies in battle. Other kings lived much older. Hezekiah did not live all that long for Israel kings involved. And they talk about the statue there, but then he goes into the modern analysis looking at the cult of abortion. Whereas when the Democratic Party first started talking about this, you know, mostly under like the early Bill Clinton administration, they wanted abortion to be safe, legal, and rare. So under rare cases, one could get an abortion in a safe, controlled environment. And if that's the way things have stayed, it probably would have been perfectly fine to say, okay, in some cases that the deeper Christians might disagree with, but it's not so in your face. The problem is they have, like all things of sin, pushed the envelope to actually celebrate it. You can go online and look for people actually doing abortion rituals with some witch pagan ritual where they're actually sacrificing their unborn children, utilizing abortion instrumentation involved in aborting their own baby for some form of bizarre magical practice. I don't remember if he talked about that in the book, but I know I've seen those. But he does talk about nowadays there's entire organizations that are extolling the virtues of abortion and things like that. And that is the type of stuff that he is covering in the book. And so as we flip through, he does have a chapter on whose children are they anyway, which is really addressing the concept that the world thinks that the children are for the world to raise up in the way they want. And this is how every modern secular school system is working. They believe that it's all up to them. The ones, I think it was in California, I think, during this recent Pride Parade, Wiener, that guy who comes up the most perverted laws in California, he's actually goes on and is praising the creation and the passing of this law in California that forbids schools from talking to the parents about various things that are going on in the kids. So the child goes off to school starting usually around the age of 5 or 6. They get indoctrinated into this weird sexual nonsense. And then what ends up happening is the school system now is not allowed to tell the parents about what is going on in the kid's mind, which is ultimately dangerous because we know that people involved in this particular movement have a much higher depression, mental illness, and suicide rates. You would think that letting the parents know this might be a positive thing, but it would appear that they don't really care. His next chapter talks about hampered by the curse of sin, how sin impacts the world and the child. This addresses that question, are we sinners because we sin, or do we sin because we're sinners? And ultimately, all of us are hampered by that sinful element, and so we are indeed we do indeed sin because we are sinners. We do not become sinners at the point in time we sin. That is a difference of the theology. And then, of course, children are a gift from the Lord is a chapter about how the fact that God has entrusted the kids to us as we are raising them up, and it is not for the it is not for the world to raise them up. It is for the parents to raise them up and be making those ultimate decisions. And then finally, we get into the fact that this is not a battle where we're battling with men. This is why politics is not going to solve it. We're not going to fix this problem by electing more Republicans into office. We're going to solve this on our knees, praying and taking control back and showing our children what real Christians are. Not what the fake idea is, not a person who gives lip service to God on Sundays and just says, well, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? But an actual person who actually lives their life for God. That is really what this is about. It is about the spiritual battle. And that's what we are in. We are in a spiritual battle, and that's what it takes. Now, of course, the last five chapters, they talk respectively against their elements. Attack on conception, of course, is who creates it. Attack on life talks a little bit about the abortion lobby and things. And then, of course, the attack on the family is the modern elements, the modern viewpoints that suggests that family itself is destructive. We need to abandon the family as quickly as possible and move on into a secular world. It's old 1984-esque type mindsets where families are completely deprioritized, even discouraged in many ways. And that really is what our current culture does, and how he talks in here about the biblical model is that the family comes together. And of course, he attacks against the women. This is where he gets in a lot more of the trans stuff, because what we're seeing happen is all of these biological men who, in some cases, they don't even take hormones. They don't do anything more than throw on a dress and say, I'm a guy. Okay, but they're going in and dominating every sport they get into, and it makes obvious sense that the very first ever four-star admiral isn't even a woman, okay? Very first ever four-star female admiral is not a female, okay? That's the type of stuff we're talking about. We're talking about records broken by men under the guise of women that no biological woman will ever be able to beat. This is the stuff that goes on, and that's how he talks about the attack on the women. Of course, the attack on the men is the demasculinization, the screeches about toxic masculinity and all that kind of stuff. And so the book is a fabulous book. It is a wonderful, amazing book that teaches a lot of biblical analysis versus the way our culture is going. And having read it all the way through, I can tell you exactly why Thomas Nelson did not want to publish this, because Thomas Nelson is a subsidiary of HarperCollins, which is a subsidiary of News Corp, which are all DEI guys and pushing all of this nonsense. And this is why we really need to stop publishing books from these big Christian publishers. We probably need to stop buying books from them and tell them, no, you need to go back independent and return to the scripture, not be owned by a big corporation and under an umbrella. It would not surprise me if some higher up looked at this book and said, no, we are not publishing this, because it goes against the whole mindset. So of course, the good news is with John MacArthur creating his own publishing group, I happen to know by doing my own independent publishing, John MacArthur is not going to sell any fewer of these copies than he would if it were published under Thomas Nelson. Only his ministry is going to make twice as much money at least for each one of these books that they sell. And he filters that back into his ministry. So that is probably a really good thing. And maybe hopefully they look at this and go, yeah, maybe it's worthless. We just won't deal with any of these publishers anymore. We'll just start doing all of our books under our own label. Might be a slightly little bit more work, but it will pay off a lot more in the end. And so this is a book you should pick it up. I'm not sure exactly where all you can get it. I know you can buy it on Grace to You. If they're doing things properly, you can probably buy it anywhere you can buy books too. The publishers aren't publishing it. The distributors, I don't know. They should distribute. I don't know. Haven't looked exactly where it is. If I can find an accurate link, I'll put it down below, whether that's the Grace to You link to buy it, or if I can find it on Amazon, I'll use that. That way I can throw an Amazon affiliate link in there, help support the channel a little bit if you do that. With that though, guys, thank you for watching. I mentioned that book, Hezekiah's Prayer. Go ahead and have a look at that book. That is available on a variety of different platforms as well. So with that, thanks for watching, and hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's T-O-M-M. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.